The views and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests of Reality Realty are not necessarily the views or opinions of Northumberland 89.7 FM. The information given is designed to be informative and helpful. You should always consult a professional when buying or selling your home. Hello, Northumberland County, and welcome to Reality Realty, Northumberland 89.7 FM's real estate talk show, where we take on, we talk about, and we interview guests on all things real estate with a direct focus on Northumberland County and the communities within it. I'm Dale Bryant, and I'm a real estate broker, and my co-host here is Dave Smith, certified home inspector.
Good morning. Absolutely. I'm happy to see you, Dale. I don't see much of you lately. You've been out there running the roads, selling houses.
Well, thanks for saying that, Dave.
What? That you're out there running the roads or that I haven't seen you lately?
That you were actually happy to see
me. I am happy. Was that what I said?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes. Absolutely happy to see you, Dale.
We saw each other earlier. Was it earlier this week on inspection?
It was one of these weeks. Yes. I think it was Monday. We were out there doing our thing.
Absolutely. So, Dave, today's show, we're going to be talking about some different things. Actually, as promised last week, Dave and I have composed some poetry, real estate poetry.
Really?
And limericks.
Limericks.
That we're going to be reading. You touch that dial.
That's not.
Limericks,
Dale.
Yeah, that was just kidding. But we have a neat show today. We're going to be debunking some widely accepted real estate myths. We'll be looking at common real estate misconceptions. Looking at some bad real estate advice that always seems to be out there and readily available. And some things you should know before buying or selling a home. Should be an interesting mix of information.
Yeah, and although I'm not obviously a realtor, I'm a home inspector, but I could probably support some of those some of those issues because I have been on the inspection end of some of those situations where there is not a realtor involved, where there's been a direct purchase, and I can kind of give you a little bit of insight on what I see from my perspective.
A different perspective is always interesting. We'll also cover our home inspection tip of the week. We will look at Snapshot, which is a snapshot of today's residential real estate market here in Northumberland County. And we'll be doing our Points to Ponder segment. So, Dave, why don't you kick things off with the home inspection tip of the week?
Well, let's face it. This is why people tune in, is for the home inspection tip of the week. I'm pretty sure. That's what the fans have been telling me.
I wonder what kind of demographic that is.
That's a good demographic. Yeah. My home inspection tip of the week is called... And I worked this title I've been working on it for 2 weeks. I came up with this. Why does deck stain suck? That's my home inspection tip of the week.
Did you run this by the producer?
Why does deck stain suck? Well, believe it or not, it's just now warm enough to stain or paint outside. Now, I know for sure, even though I'm no longer in the retail paint business or stain business, that people have been doing it for probably a month, maybe longer. If you stained or painted outside before now, and you're going to be really lucky if that paint or stain sticks. Exterior acrylic stain, and acrylic, and don't get alkyd and acrylic mixed up. Alkyd is the old oil-based product, which you can no longer purchase from a retailer. It's no longer allowed to be sold. So this is the low VOC or the water-based acrylic stains. They should not be applied outside the home until decking, trim, anything where you're using paint or stain should not be applied until the temperature has not dropped below 10 degrees Celsius for a minimum of 24 hours. Exterior acrylic paint, minimum 48 hours. So the temperature can't drop below 10 degrees Celsius. And that's not daytime high, folks. That's overnight lows we're talking about. Secondly, if it rained all week but it's sunny Saturday morning, let's get that stain on, right? No, wrong. You're asking for failure if you try to apply in those conditions. Bill Clark, an excellent painter and owner of Top to Bottom Painting right here in Northumberland County, will tell you that 90% of paint failure can be attributed to preparation. How can we learn the secrets of the experts? How can we ever unweave the tangled mysteries of proper exterior painting and staining? Read the can. There's the mystery right there. Yeah. Read the can.
Do they put something on that?
They put it all on there. Read the can. It's all there. How can you tell if your deck needs more water? repellency. How can you tell if it's time to actually put a water repellent stain on a deck? Here's a tip. Wait a few days. Pour a glass of water on it. Wait for a few dry days and pour a glass of water on it. If the water soaks into the dry wood, you need more water repellency. If it beads up, you don't need it yet. If you've got pressure-treated lumber, yes, pressure-treated lumber is not intended to last forever. You do need to stain it to protect it. Once it starts to turn that silvery gray, it needs protection. When it no longer has any protection, then it starts to dry out, and that's when it starts to splinter, it starts to come apart, the fasteners start to affect it. You have to remember that the folks who developed the fantastically incredible, durable, color-fast, scrubbable, flexible, earth-friendly coatings for indoor use didn't forget everything they knew when they stepped outside. It's just that not following the instructions catches up to you outside more so than it does on the inside. It's a bit more forgiving. Why does deck stain suck? It doesn't, but your preparation and patience just might. My home inspection tip of the week.
That was pretty technical, Dave.
It was pretty technical. I know that you would never stain before the temperature drops below.
You know my theory?
What is your theory?
My theory, Dave, is if you do the preparation,
yes,
and you apply,
yes,
the way you think it ought to go,
mm-hmm,
it's not going to last. If you spill it, it'll be there forever. So I would recommend buying a can and kicking it onto the deck. Because a spill just seems to last forever.
When you were talking about preparation, I thought you were referring to the radio show there for a second. If you prepare properly, it's going to all come out perfectly. That's my home inspection tip of the week, Mr. Bryant.
All right. So let's take a look at a snapshot of today's residential real estate market here in Northumberland County. Dave, over the past month, 109 listings sold. We're going down. The big spring market is just
receding
a little bit, like,
yeah, we're as high as 127 at one point there,
so. Yeah, and we're down to 109 over the past month. Listings for sale, though, people seem to still be listing their homes, so it's almost like pouring a can of cola and you stop pouring, but the fizz just keeps building,
yeah,
right? You just,
yeah,
can't stop
the
it.
The scales are tipping slightly,
yeah,
the other way.
So we have an inventory of 447 homes for sale right now in Northumberland County. And over the past 12 months, people have been listing on average for $305,000. So the average price of a residential home in Northumberland County, the listing price, $305,000. Yeah, that seems a little high. Although I heard the average in Toronto yesterday on the news was 1.something million. The average.
1.something million.
Yeah, like 1.1 million, something like that. So a big difference from here to GTA. And what have these homes been actually selling for? On average, they've been selling for $295,000. So people have been receiving, the successful people who have sold their homes have been receiving 96.8% of their asking price in approximately 76 days. The absorption rate, which is a rate that helps us understand if it's a seller's market, a buyer's market, or a balanced market, it's right now sitting at 24%, so it's still a seller's market. But it's creeping its way down to a balanced market as well. And the information here that the statistics and information I use to calculate the absorption rate come to us from the Northumberland Hills Association of Realtors. So thank you to them for providing those rates, those statistics. Today's mortgage rates remain the same. They've been remaining the same over a number of weeks. Best 5-year fixed is still at 2.49%. Best 5-year variable is still at 2%. And these mortgage rates come to us from mortgage broker Carol Ann Bryant from the Mortgage Wellness Group right here in Northumberland County. Today's Reality Realty points to ponder. Dave, it seems in the luxury market, the home viewing and the open house has just grown to another level. And I was reading in Real Estate Professional publication an article about live-in showings being the next trend in luxury home marketing. So let me read a little.
So you're talking about actually living in the home for a bit before you own it.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like it could be a a system that could be riddled with potential
rife with
problems.
Issues. I'm assuming, though, and just to set the tone here, the other people are going to move out, right? Like, you're not going to move in with them.
Yes.
Okay.
So let me read a little bit of this article. You'd never buy a car without taking it for a test drive, so why is a house any different? That's the conundrum one real estate auction house is looking to solve with live-in options for viewing luxury homes. The concept for a live-in viewing experience came from the need for properties to be viewed in a different manner, said Angela Roy, president and COO of Luxury Auction House. We found there was a need for clients to slow down during the viewing process and experience what it would be like to live in the property. Roy said the process, which was thought up by the company's founder and CEO, Alex Lambert, allows potential buyers to experience the home from sunup to sundown. Those buyers who, one, they're vetted and must supply the auction house with a $150,000 bank draft and the bank's letter of guarantee, can live in the home for up to 7 days, taking advantage, full advantage, of the home's amenities. The extended viewing also comes with a live-in host, a gourmet chef, and a 24-hour concierge service. Past clients who have taken advantage of this service have found it beneficial in their decision-making process. Plus, the extended viewing also helps clients to truly experience the property, taking the traditional open house one step further. They're just calling it one step further. The opportunity, the opportunity for clients to live in the home creates an emotional attachment, she said.
Oh, I absolutely see it. I mean, and it does seem, when at first blush, it seems kind of like, well, I won't say crazy, but it does seem out there, a big step forward. But I saw something recently where Airbnb, if you're familiar with it, has become the number one accommodation site in the world, as I understand it. And that's basically where you will let someone come and stay in your home for a weekend or for a week, as sort of using your home as a vacation property. It's usually for international travelers, but it could just be going to St. Louis and you want to stay somewhere for a while. You can rent a room, you can rent the whole home. So if you look at it from the perspective of the Airbnb idea of renting out your home as a hotel for a short period of time, this is not that big a jump. And if that growth of that industry is so huge, and it is, this is not that big an extension.
But I'm not sure these people actually want to rent. These people want to sell this $10-20 million home.
The idea of, I think the bridge was gap or the gap was bridged by the idea that opening up your home to strangers and having them stay there. I mean, if that has become such a popular and such a huge growth area, the idea of doing the same thing for a possible home buyer is not that big an extension. I think you're talking about homes that are sold based on their views in a lot of cases. These are luxury, high-end, million-dollar homes.
Yeah.
That's a huge, huge decision. If it gives you that much of an advantage over your neighbor or the competition out there, I say go for it. I'm going to do that in Casa Smith.
Well, I'm not sure they're referring to our homes, but and
like
just to be clear, I really don't get your parallel with the B&B.
But Airbnb?
Yeah, I'm just not getting it. It's a totally different thing. Although people could abuse this and make it like a holiday when you have a week long. A gourmet chef, concierge, and host,
and $150,000 to put up
to but that's not, you get that back.
No, I know. Yeah, you're right. You get it back.
So that's like a free holiday. Who's paying for?
Well,
for the
Airbnb
concierge?
Reference I'm making is the idea of letting people into your home. You're going past that psychological gap. So that's where I'm coming. This is your topic. I'm trying to help you along here, Dale.
I didn't think I needed any.
This is Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio. Join Dale and myself after this short break. We're going to be talking about top real estate myths, common real estate misconceptions, and more. Come on back.
That does not sound good.
I know. And who are you?
I'm the Midas Touch, and I think you need me.
It's that bad?
Not for long. Head to Midas for a comprehensive brake system evaluation, and if needed, we can install brake pads and shoes that come with a lifetime guarantee. How's that sound?
Like sound advice?
Nice one.
Visit Midas at 6 Strathy Road in Coburg for great customer service from licensed Midas mechanics. For details, give them a call at 905-372-1959.
Trust the Midas Touch.
As a local business owner, would you pay to advertise your service in a shotgun approach to a broad market or to an audience that is right for your business? Would you try and promote your business into another area code where there's three others doing what you do, or into your hometown where you're known as one of a kind? Northumberland 89.7 is specific and local for the people of Northumberland County. Northumberland 89.7 is unique and original, just like your business. Give us a call at 905-372-2391 or email us at sales@northumberland897.ca.
Welcome back. This is Dale Bryant and Dave Smith on Reality Realty, Northumberland 89.7 FM's local real estate talk. Today we'll be talking about and debunking some of the widely accepted real estate myths, some common real estate misconceptions, some bad real estate advice that will always be available to homeowners, and things you should know before buying or selling a home.
So this is going to be like a game show. Is that the way we're playing this? I'm going to be putting out the myths, and Dale Bryant, a real estate broker, is going to be debunking. Is that the way this is? I'm the tosser and you're the debunker.
That is the attempt.
I like this.
That is the attempt.
This is going to go better than the Airbnb thing, I think.
Yeah, which we discussed over the break.
And it was agreed to at a 66% ratio that it was a great reference. So let's see what I can do here. Myth number one. Dale Bryant, you ready for this? You're in the big chair today, Dale.
All right. Can I phone a friend?
You might need to. Realtors make boatloads of money.
Oh my, that's the only reason I got into this.
Into this radio show?
Or no, into the real estate industry.
It's because of all the
money. The boatloads of money
that you were going to make.
And then it wasn't there.
Well, what give us some facts here. You're a fact guy. Yeah. Give us some facts.
Anyways, so a lot of people think they see the commissions on the sale of a home. They just trust that the realtors are making those boatloads of money. I took a look because I mean, just from personal experience, I thought they were maybe a little off the mark. So I took a look on Service Canada's website, and the annual average income of a realtor in Ontario is $52,800 average income.
That's gross income.
That's a gross income. 25.4% of those realtors actually make less than $20,000 a year. 33.6% of the realtors make between $20,000 and $50,000. So we have 59% of realtors making actually less than $50,000 a year. And that's not including. I mean, it's one thing to go to your employer in the morning or at the beginning of your shift and start the job, and 8 hours, 8.5 hours later go home, and your only expense was getting there and back. If you're a realtor, you also have a number of organizational fees. You belong to the Canadian Real Estate Association, Ontario Real Estate Association, the local board. There's a number of other optional organizations you can belong to. You're paying your licensing fee. You're paying error and emission insurance, marketing. I mean, if you're going to be successful, Dave, in real estate, marketing is a huge component of your success. And not only are you marketing yourself so that you actually get business, but you're marketing the properties that you're selling. And there's such a thing as just getting it out there and then actually having successful marketing, being noticed. And that component is a large expense. Office fees, just your operating expenses, lockboxes.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. And these are the things that I'm sure most people, if you've never owned your own business or operated a business out of your home, you guys, you being realtors, sorry, you shouldn't say guys, you folks, the office fees. But then there is the duality of needing to have office space out of your home, whether you have an office in the bricks and mortar in the realtor office in town. You also have to have space in your own home. You have to have pretty much a dedicated telephone line. You've certainly got your cell phone. You have to have high-end internet to be able to send and receive quickly and dependably. You've got to have a vehicle that you can't be driving around in a beater, in a rough old car. You've got to have a decent car that is in good shape.
Something presentable. Well, somebody
has to be
can drive in.
Much higher than the average person would have to be. You've got to have all of those things, and they've all got to be operating all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that costs. And those costs of mileage, gasoline, all of those things are mm-hmm. are just hidden costs that are far higher than the average employer or employee would have to keep.
Absolutely. So you take that $50,000 to $55,000 annual income, and you start, it's more than just chipping away. It's like chunking away with, mm-hmm. with all these fees that, that we mentioned. I mean, just signs, having signs available to sell the homes, internet presence. I mean, you can get an internet page or even a basic website up and online fairly reasonably, but that's not much use if it's not effective, if it doesn't have good SEO, which is search engine optimization. So when somebody Googles, say, Coburg Real Estate or Northumberland Real Estate Agent, it needs, or a home for sale in Northumberland County, it needs to come up high, or else that your site just never is seen by anyone. And that involves a lot of money and ongoing money. You can't have a good site today and think it's going to be great next year at this time or the year after.
Well, there's a, it's always, the grass is always greener. I come from the retail world where you sell a $1,000 barbecue and people assume you're making, you know, a good chunk of that barbecue. You know, I'm sure most people assume you're probably going to make 50% of that barbecue. I think most people would be surprised to find out that in an average retail hardware store, the margins are only about 30%. Mm-hmm. And at the end, profitability probably falls more in the 5% range. So if you're operating a $2 million sale hardware store, you're probably only making about $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
It is easier to look from the outside in, but if I've hired you as my realtor, Dale, I expect you for that short period in time, whatever amount of time that is from beginning to end, from when I first hire you to when we actually make the close and the sale on that home, I'm expecting you, in all fairness, to be at my beck and call, to be there mm-hmm. at 8:30, 9 o'clock, to be there Saturdays and Sundays. And when you actually sort of prorate the amount of hours that you spend on the sale of my home, and you put that over an hourly basis and availability, to say nothing of the real cost of your private life,
mm-hmm.
it's certainly an eye opener.
And a lot of those hours are hidden hours; they're not the obvious hours.
They're not you're not like a pick on lawyers, but you can't. I don't have billable hours. You don't have billable hours. You can say, well, I worked on Saturday for 3 hours doing your layout, or I spent 2 hours with mm-hmm. your mortgage company on the phone. This sort of thing. It's like it's an all in package, and it can take twice as long for some homes and other homes. It certainly does have an effect. So yeah. That is an eye-opener.
But to sum it up, Dave, I mean, there's a lot of people, it's a revolving door industry. A lot of people get into it and leave because it's costing them money to be in this business. There is a good opportunity to make a decent living, but are we making boatloads of money?
No.
No.
And on the low end, you look at some of those realtors, like you say, 25% making less than $20,000 a year. A lot of those fixed costs, the ones at the bottom there, the marketing fees, office fees, insurance fees, licensing fees, it's the same for most everybody.
It's the same. It's okay. Absolutely the same.
Okay, here's another one. I'm going to throw another one at you here, Dale. This is a myth. In a multiple offer scenario, the highest price always wins. Are you going to debunk this one?
Yeah, I'm going to debunk this one. Now, price is a big deal, right? Price will always be a big deal. But let me give you
just not the biggest deal.
Well, not always. I think the key word there is, as you said, will it always be, you know, the determining factor on which bid wins the house? It's not always going to be. I'll give you an example here, something that very close to this happened recently. So we have a house for sale. I have a house I'm listing. And normally this house is likely worth about $280,000. But because of this very strong spring market, we priced it at $299,900 because there's a part of it that is just a gut feeling what the market will do. So we ended up getting within a few days, we ended up getting 8 offers in. Now, the top offer on this, what was already a healthy listing price on this home of $299,900, the best offer was $335,000.
Now, it seems like amazing for the seller.
It was amazing. And now this $335,000 offer had a home inspection. It had a financing condition on it. And we had another offer. I'll just talk about the top two offers. We had another offer at 326,000, and it had zero conditions on it. So $9,000 difference, that's hard to ignore. What we had to do is we had to decide, how will this all play out? Because we'd really like that top offer.
Sure you would.
To go through. The problem with that in that particular deal was that the people needed the financing to be done. And right now, lenders, more than ever, are getting homes appraised. And lenders are going to want to see two documents. They're going to want to see the realtor version of the listing, and they're going to want to see the agreement of purchase and sale. And as soon as they see a listing of $299,900 and a purchase price of $335,000, they're going to think, you likely overpaid, and we're not going to fund more than the house is worth. So if you don't have the cash to make up the difference, you're just not going to get funding. So I mean, there was a lot of considerations being done there in that scenario, but ultimately the seller went with the lower offer, and because we didn't want to handcuff this house for the next 5 days just to find out the highest offer isn't getting financing. Now, will the other seven offers still be there?
Yeah. You're sending those folks out that made that other offer, mm-hmm. and you're asking them to go out. They've got another 7 days to find another house possibly.
Yeah, exactly. And just because there's not a condition of financing on an offer, that's not an entirely warm fuzzy either, because some people in a multiple offer situation will waive that condition of financing. That doesn't mean they're getting the financing. So you have to look at a lot of other factors. Maybe how much was the deposit? How strong is this individual trying to buy this house? So top price, Dave, doesn't always win in a multiple offer situation.
Okay, so what happens if an offer is made with the condition that the buyers need to sell their home? What does that?
That's
your point of view on some of those things.
Yeah, so, pardon me, we call that, when we get an offer like that, some of the people that have been in real estate longer will refer to it as a sale of purchaser's property, an SOPP. Nowadays, they're calling it an SBP, sale of buyer's property, same thing. But what happens there is somebody comes along, they have a house to sell, and say I have a house to sell, Dave, and I want to buy your house. So I'm going to say, Dave, I'd like to buy your house for this much money, these conditions, and one of my conditions is that I actually sell my own home. And so whether or not you like that depends on a few factors. One of the things is on that, when that condition is put in place, that condition should have my address in there. So you know what home it is that I have to sell.
Yeah, I never thought of that.
But. Yeah, you and your realtor, you're going to take a look at that house and say, is it already on the market? Is it a sellable home? If it isn't already on the market, when will it be on the market? Because you don't necessarily want to drag along this conditional offer if it really has no realistic chance.
Maybe they're being unreasonable in so many aspects of that home.
Exactly. Now, If you have a house and it's like a one-off, you're rural, it's very special, or even in town, but there's something very special about it, and there's not a lot of competition in, say, that price band, you might still accept offers like that. If it's not a multiple offer situation, if one offer just comes by, you might want to accept that, because the next clause that comes in after that clause that says is conditional on selling a home, the next clause that you read in the schedule should be an escape clause saying the seller is able to continue to keep their house up for sale, and in the condition that they find an offer that they agree upon, then the first buyer will be given X amount of hours to either firm up or walk away. So the house is still up for sale.
Commonly known as bumping.
Yeah, you're being bumped. The first person is being bumped. So if you have a very unique home, you might accept that. You might accept that condition on selling the home. If you if you're in town and there's 5-6 homes the same, very close to the same price, same features, I'd be reluctant to accept a sale of buyer's property condition, right, because people will just move to one of the other three or four homes that are very similar.
Well, it's so open-ended. It would scare me. And we've had this condition offered. We've had this on offers in our home in the past. And it's one that kind of scares me. It's so open-ended.
But you really gotta look at each situation, Dave, right, because there are situations that you just don't want to, yep, let that offer go by. And then there's other times it's just not helping the seller at all.
And you can put it in the queue and you can do the bumping.
And you can stack them.
Right.
There can be several stacked on top of each other. Right. And
there's nothing more exciting than having six people offer on your home. This is Reality Realty on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio. Join Dale and me after this short break, and we'll continue to talk about misconceptions in real estate.
Ladies and gentlemen, at Houston McPherson Show on June 20th, you never know who's going to come out next. From Elvis to Jack Nicholson and many more, Houston pulls off impersonations of actors, comedians, presidents, and over 35 singing legends. It's a fast-paced, high-energy show you do not want to miss. Celebrities by Houston McPherson at Victoria Hall in Cobourg, 8 p.m. on June 20th. For ticket information, call 905-372-2210 or visit concerthall@victoriahall.com.
It's important to know where your food comes from. Shop at the Cobourg Farmers Market and you can be assured it's fresh and you're supporting local agriculture in Northumberland. Since 1839, the Cobourg Farmers Market has been providing a vital community link from farm to fork. At the market, you'll find organic produce, locally raised meat, and more. It's fun for the whole family. The market is open Saturdays from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. right behind Victoria Hall. Or visit CobourgFarmersMarket.ca.
Welcome back. This is Dale Bryant and Dave Smith on Reality Realty. Northumberland 89.7 FM's real estate talk for Northumberland County. Dave, we're just going to pick up from where we left off last segment about misconceptions, myths, good things to know about real estate.
All right, so here's another misconception or misinformed. Misinformed. My house, this is the seller talking, Dale. My house is the nicest house on the street.
Yeah. You know, and we...
You ever hear that?
Yes. We hear that a lot, and sometimes it's a little bit of an inside joke with realtors, you know, because I've just listed the nicest house on the street sort of thing again. We all think we have the nicest house on the street. You know, our decorating ideas, our renovation ideas, they were our ideas. And we didn't think of them lightly. You know, we thought about them for a while and implemented them the best way possible. A lot of people say when we're comparing another house, I know that house. You know, I was in that house when it was first built. Well, maybe it was first built 20 years ago. And maybe when both homes were new, you had a few more features. Or I was in that house the last time it sold. I walked through that house and that house doesn't have this. But folks, you likely be very surprised at some of the renovations your neighbors have done and some of the modifications they've done. Not necessarily, you might have a very nice house, but to think it's the nicest, there's only likely one or two nicest on the whole block.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's the way the ratio works.
Unless you're doing a neighborhood watch on all the contractors and trucks coming into every home in your neighborhood, that'd be a tough thing to really know.
Well, and there's improvements that have value. There are some that are not. I know I did inspected a home recently that had some real problems with it, with the plumbing and some of the electrical work that was done in the home, and the roof needed to be done. And as I understand it, both the selling agent and the seller of the home were very upset that the buyer was not going forward with the home because they went on about how they had added, you know, spent money on backsplash and that they had put in a big jet tub and mm-hmm. they'd done these things. But most of the references they made to why their house was so good or why the buyer should sell the house did not matter to the buyer.
No.
And, you know, things like, you know, light switches and receptacles that have been insulated or that the floors were screwed down rather than nailed down. And, you know, you have to keep in mind, and we've talked about this, touched on it in different aspects of the show, talked about making sure you make the right decisions on both the upgrades in a home and the improvements that you make, whether they're professionally done or not, or whether or not they really have wide appeal. So, mm-hmm. you know, again, you might think that it's the nicest house in the street, but it is, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and you can't control what the competition has.
No, and if you want to be successful selling your home, which means being successful at pricing it right, you need to be very objective. Very objective, right, when you're establishing your price.
Or have an open house, because evidently open houses sell homes.
Yeah, well, there's another myth, Dave. There's another myth, and we did an entire show on what I would say, and not every realtor is going to agree. From the realtors I've spoken to, most in a big way agree that open houses are not really a super effective way to sell a home. And then we referred to in that show, according to the National Association of Realtors, only 2% of homes in 2014 were actually sold through an open house. And when you compare that to 43% of homes were sold as a result of being found on the internet, or 33% of homes were a result of being found by the buyer's realtor, 2% isn't really worth everything you go through in an open house to get it ready, then be sent out of your house for a couple hours, and always have the risk of people, and maybe multiple people, going through your home.
So as much as there's been a ton of advancements in the last 20 years in regards to the internet and information, it is still a traditional industry, I think it's fair to say. Maybe also because, you know, the average person sells a home. I don't have the figures in front of me, but I always use the number 7 years, 7.5 years. It may take a while for the advancements, and even though the internet is, as you say here, is 43% or about 20 times as much as open houses, open houses still continue to be one of the ways that most people think of. Newspaper advertising, which is about 50% of open houses, and yet there are tons of paper ads and completely real estate circulars. I think if you look at any real estate office, you'll find three or four boxes from three or four different vendors doing that advertising. So is it just a case of it's just taking a while for people to become in tune with that? Why, when internet does so well, according to the numbers that you've given, why are there so many poorly represented houses through their pictures on the internet?
Well, that's another thing. I mean, some homes, the realtor will, I don't know what kind of camera they're using. Maybe something in their shirt pocket, and they're taking a quick photo. Some realtors will buy a nice camera and take them themselves, and then other realtors will hire a professional photographer. So it can, the pictures can look very different. And I mean, we were talking earlier when we were talking about a realtor's income, and we were talking about the costs in marketing. Well, I mentioned we have to market for ourselves to get business, and then we have to market to sell the homes we're listing. So is an open house good marketing for the realtor to get new business? Yes. Even though print advertising, according to this
1%.
According to this study, it was only 1% effective in 2014. But how effective was it to actually, for a realtor to be in the minds of the community, so they actually got a call when somebody wanted to list a home?
Well, it's like all advertising. I came from the retail world, and the retailers used to complain about the cost of their print advertising, the flyers they sent out, and sometimes the backlash you get from the new economy and people concerned about paper and waste and this sort of thing. But the equation we used to use as a corporate guy when I operated corporately was, if you want to see what effect your flyers or your print advertising have on your customership, stop doing them, because you'll probably find out very quickly how effective they are. They don't necessarily equate into footsteps or dollars through your door, but if you don't advertise, if you don't market, if you don't get your brand out there, it may be very, very difficult to get that that engine moving again if you get rid of it. So, okay, things you should know. Should you choose your realtor based on the highest recommended list price of your home? So you're talking about you bring in four realtors. Should you be going with the realtor that says, I can list your price for X number of dollars, and that happens to be the highest one?
If they're giving you the highest price, because they're actually willing to buy it themselves at that price, I'd go with that realtor.
There's
a sale right there. If they're higher than anybody else that's come in and done an evaluation of your home, there's a couple things you want to know here, because a few things can go on. One is just a real legitimate, exhaustive market analysis of your home with the comparables, with the actual market that's going on in your type of home at that time. There's a legitimate market analysis. Then there's something called, we call it in the real estate industry, it's called buying a listing. Now, buying a listing, Dave, if you want to list your home, and I get a sense that you're going to interview two or three other realtors or two or three realtors in total, and I really want your listing bad, and I'm going to possibly give you a number higher than what maybe I ought to be giving you, so that my sign gets on your lawn. And then maybe I'll deal with later the fact that we're a bit too high once we start to get feedback. Now, I'm not saying this is a common thing, but it was common enough that there's a term that relates to it and buying a listing. And so, I mean, it's very hard. If I was the realtor who gave you this bigger number than the other two realtors gave you, and I was enthusiastic about it, you'd hate to give up on a chance that you could possibly make that money.
So if you come back, if you come back as the realtor, so I should dig a little deeper as a seller and say, how are you supporting this price? Do you have any market analysis? Why is it that you have the highest price? And what analysis have you done to mm-hmm. reinforce with me that this price can be supported and that I'm going to get, at least as per our numbers earlier in the show, 96.8% of that asking price? Is that what I should be looking for?
Exactly. And what I say to people when I meet with them to go over this information, I say, I'm going to do a market analysis for you, and it's going to be in black and white. It's going to be documented. And I'm going to bring the documents to back up what my findings are telling us. And it has to make sense to you. Make sure it makes sense to you, because if another market analysis and you look it over yourself and it doesn't make sense and it was really high, or you say, wow, the comparables that were used really don't match up with what we're selling. You know, it needs to make sense. And the other side of the pendulum is if you get a real estate agent that just wants a quick, easy sale. And maybe they get a sense.
Listing it low.
They list it low. It's going to be a fast sale, less work for them.
Right.
You got to be aware of that too. So there's a few things to keep in mind. There, you know, anybody that's reaching into the magic listing hat, pulling a price out of a hat, you know, that there's so much information. Is it that funny, Dave, the magic listing hat?
It is right now.
But I sometimes wonder where prices come from, and you want a good market analysis on your home that makes sense to you.
Well, and the comparables too are not just listings that look like your house. You know, they're not just listings on side splits that are on your street or in your community.
These are
houses that are sold, not just listed. You
could easily show
you 10 that are at your price or higher. But have they actually sold, or are you going into that same whirlpool that they're in?
And you got to look at the solds. You got to look at what you're competing against as well. But the big weight is in what actually sold. The rest is a dream.
You've been listening to Reality Realty here on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio. Join Dale and myself after this short break, and we're going to finish up with our discussion on real estate myths and give you a little bit of a hint of what's happening next week.
Listen to us worldwide. Go to northumberland897.ca and select Listen Now, or download our TuneIn app for your mobile.
Ah, warm weather, great food, and good times.
You can find all that and more at Boston Pizza in Cobourg.
Starting May 21st and happening every third Thursday of the month, check out their awesome themed patio parties.
From Blue Jays nights, country nights, Mexican nights, and so much more.
It's the best party in town.
There will also be great contests and prizes.
To get in on all the fun, visit them at Northumberland Mall.
Check out Boston Pizza Cobourg on Facebook or call them at 905-372-4222.
That harsh winter seems like long ago, but your furnace hasn't forgotten. If your furnace and air conditioner are more than 10 years old, it may be time to invest in new ones. Receive up to $1,400 in cash rebates and give yourself home comfort peace of mind by calling Northumberland's personal climate experts, Pritchard Climate Care, right now. Call us at 905-885-8216 or visit us at PritchardMechanical.com. These rebates are only available until July 15th, so don't delay. Give us a call today.
How do you describe contemporary folk? Acoustic? Yes. Roots? Sure. Americana? That's a newer buzz term, but yep. Celtic? There's a bit of that. Bluegrass? Well, we'll throw some of that in also. On Sunday Coffee House, we'll mix it all together to come up with a show that's pretty diverse, with music from the heart, from the soul, from the earth, and sometimes from over there. You can learn more at SundayCoffeeHouse.com. Better still, listen. I'm Greg Schatzman. Join me every Sunday at noon for Sunday Coffee House on Northumberland 89.7.
Well, thanks for sticking around on Reality Realty with Dave Smith and Dale Bryant. We're going to finish up the show here. We're going to talk a couple more aspects. This is bad real estate advice. This is a comment from the Cheap Seats here. My neighbor, friend, or family member said that at this price, you're giving this house away.
Yes, and you know what? There's been so many times that realtors, they will go through all the research to evaluate your home, give you a good value that you recommend to the seller. The seller will say, yeah, that makes sense to me. We're going to list at that price. And then the next thing you know, the seller is telling their friend or neighbor.
Cousin Frank.
Cousin Frank.
You know what, Frank? Frank knows everything about real estate.
Yeah. And Cousin Frank is going to say, oh, my goodness, you're giving it away at this price. And so then it puts doubt in the people's minds, in the seller's mind. Next thing you know, the seller's saying to the realtor, listen, we need to up the price. Yeah, we need to up the price based on what Cousin Frank said or my neighbor down the road. And their house doesn't sell. Mm. I've seen it where the price went up by $20,000 on a $20,000 home. I mean, it set it into a realm that we weren't even getting people interested in looking.
And then you get a bit of a dead duck out there.
Which is a shame, because those, you know, typically the people are asking to sell because there's a need.
Right.
There's a need to sell. So that when you say some bad advice and you mention that is one of
the worst.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But you know what? I like to say, based on what, you know, based on what, because if Uncle or Cousin Frank can give me some good evidence that when people bring in an offer, I can actually use to defend that price, bring it on. I'm all ears.
There is one more worse thing you can do, and that's getting Cousin Frank to do a home inspection for you, if I might just put that shameless plug
okay.
in. All right. Bad real estate advice or decision number two. This is the seller talking. I'm just going to use the buyer or the seller. I'm just going to use the lender, the bank, the broker, trust company, credit union that I used the last time, or the bank we have all our accounts with to get my mortgage.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something you really need to think about, because I'll work with a buyer for, well, it could be for months. Sometimes it's for years. And we look at so many homes looking for the absolute best home with the best value. We finally find something and we put in an offer. And offers can go south over $500, over a light fixture, over $1,000. And so people are digging in their heels on a home that they really would like for maybe $1,000. And then they turn around and they just go to the one source for their financing and possibly forfeit thousands of dollars over the next 5 years because they did not get the best rate, the best service. So I say, if we're taking all that time, Dave, to shop for the actual home, do some homework on your financing, because right. there's another easy place to possibly save money. Now, maybe the bank you have all your accounts at right. is the best place.
And it might be.
But validate it. Check it out.
Well, it's become less, lending is a much less personal business. You're not going to get a break from someone at the bank because you've known them since they were, you used to babysit for them, this kind of thing. And also, you know, you take a look at an amortization schedule and you look at what a difference a quarter point will make in this sort of thing. And you want to keep all of that stuff in mind. So, mm-hmm. Okay, bad real estate decision. Unfortunately, I think I see this more than I realized when I got into this business of home inspection. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize this happened as often as it did. I'm in a tough financial situation. I need to sell before I lose it being the home. But I need to sell it for as much as I possibly can to pay off my debt. Why is that a bad approach?
Yeah, so things, you know, some things have gone wrong. You're finding yourself in a bad spot where maybe you haven't. You're about to not be able to make your mortgage payments.
Yeah, you've lost your job, and, a change in
life. Things have happened, be it your fault or not your fault. And the fear is losing your home. But because there's been certain debt and financial demands on you, you know, you're saying, I need to sell this and sell it fast. But on the other hand, I need every cent I can get. And too many times we see that sale ends up being a power of sale because the people were just asking
an unreasonable amount,
an amount that wouldn't work at that time in the short span that maybe they had.
Right.
And so instead of selling it for less, having the sale, coming away with nothing, but not having that bad mark against your credit
or
worthiness.
Away with something is what you're saying, or that being your credit being destroyed.
Your credit worthiness. So I mean, there, I understand the struggle there, but you really, the important thing is to get that sale. And if you're finding yourself, because if you lose your house like that, try and get another mortgage down the road. That's not a private mortgage. In a private mortgage, you're paying some premium interest. So try and get another mortgage. It's going to be maybe impossible or next to impossible with an A lender. And the other thing too, if you're finding things tight, things have been going, you know, in the wrong direction, and there's just not enough money to pay every bill. If you're thinking that and you have hopes that things will turn around for you in the future and you'd like to get another home in the future, I mean, you really want to pay that mortgage payment. If that utility bill doesn't get paid, but always the mortgage payment did get paid, when down the road when things get better for you and your lender is your new lender that you're going to for a mortgage is looking at your scenario and they say, well, you know what? Yeah, they did get behind on this and that and things got a little slow there, but this person always paid their mortgage.
Well, and it isn't just, and I think I'm correct in saying this, but it isn't just the mortgage. Rent is very expensive. Buying a new car, if you're having a life change and say there's a breakup, a marriage breakup, you're now only getting yourself qualified on what you're making. And if it's a job issue and you've been let go or you've maybe had to take a reduction in wages, take a new job that isn't where it was, there's so many ramifications of having issues with your credit rating that you really want to think long and hard. You're not, maybe that it's a human instinct to run away from something that is so scary, but you've got to think about the way you're leaving this because it isn't, you're not leaving it behind. You may be bringing it with you.
Right. And these situations don't happen overnight.
No.
They usually progress over time. So get on top of the situation right away so you're not in that crunch where you're making some bad decisions.
Well, there we go, Dale. We have cranked out another fine show today. Thank you, our listeners, for spending part of your morning with us. And we look forward to bringing you more real estate talk next week. And next week, we are going to have Megan McDonald. She's the executive director of Habitat for Humanity.
Excellent.
Yeah, on Ewart Street in Northern Industrial Park. Their motto, I'm a big fan of Habitat for Humanity, and their motto is building homes, building homes. hope. They have so many aspects of what they do that I love. I think we're only going to be able to scratch the surface next week, but I am looking forward to that and meeting Megan here in studio. If you have any questions or comments, topics, suggestions pertaining to real estate, please feel free to contact Dave by emailing dave@realityrealty.ca, or you can contact Dale by emailing dale@dalebryant.ca, or you can call the radio station at 905-372-2391.
Don't forget to join me, Dale Bryant, Real Estate Broker with Royal LePage Pro Alliance Realty Brokerage, and Dave Smith, Certified Home Inspector with Pillar to Post Home Inspectors, next Thursday from 11 a.m. until 12 noon for Reality Realty on Northumberland 89.7 FM, truly local radio. Until next week, folks.